This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. With the Iowa caucuses less than 2 weeks away, followed closely by the New Hampshire primary, the race for the Republican presidential nomination is becoming intense.
Especially when it comes to political advertising. This week, Newt Gingrich called foul after a pro-Mitt Romney political action committee released an aggressive attack ad.
Mitt Romney replied, "Buck up or butt out."
If you can't handle the heat in this little kitchen, the heat that's going to come from Obama's hell's kitchen is going to be a heck of a lot hotter. We have to show that we, as a Republican party and as a candidate, that we can stand up to the barrage that's going to come from the Obama world.
That elicited this response from Gingrich.
If he wants to test the heat, I'll meet him anywhere in Iowa next week, one-on-one, 90 minutes. No moderator, just a time key. He wants to tire out the kitchen. I'll be glad to debate him anywhere. We'll bring his ads and he can defend them.
Romney replied today, "No thanks. I'm not ready to make this a two-person race." In a minute, we'll talk about those latest super PAC ads. But first, from Manchester, we're joined by WMUR TV political director James Pindle. And James, good to have you.
Great to be back on.
So Mitt Romney not interested in accepting that that challenge from Gingrich to debate just one-on-one, right?
Look, both of these folks are doing what's in their strategic best interest. This race is becoming one that's going to be over the airwaves. We've seen the dynamics that TV ads are playing in Iowa, particularly with super PACs, which you'll talk about, but also here in New Hampshire. And Mitt Romney has the money to play and to compete in that air war. And Newt Gingrich simply does not. So he needs events like debates that are obviously his strength to drive some of this earned media coverage, the press coverage, to keep himself relevant. His star is fading. Mitt Romney knows that. And if you look at his language, even what he said in your clip there about the heat in the kitchen that he said in Keene, New Hampshire earlier this week, all of his efforts are based right at Barack Obama and not Newt Gingrich.
Right. Meanwhile, Mitt Romney on a bus tour today across New Hampshire, which he's continuing, he's dubbing it Earn It. And according to your website, he has four events scheduled today in four different New Hampshire towns. It looks like the message here is don't take New Hampshire for granted. Is that right?
In New Hampshire, politically, it's very important that you have the perception that you're going out there and you're earning it, that you will go door to door, that you want to ask for people's vote, that you'll shake their hands 12 times. People here like that aggressiveness. And they also like the earnestness of it and the humbling process of it. Not someone who would like to just have one event in this week, maybe try to get some TV coverage out of it and do well in debates. And yes, I am snarkily referring to Newt Gingrich. While Mitt Romney was here 4 days, and today everyone's in Iowa, and Mitt Romney's here for 3 days of a bus tour, Newt Gingrich held just one event in the state. It was yesterday to receive an endorsement, and it wasn't very well attended.
Hmm. But Romney does seem to be in pretty good shape in New Hampshire. Does he really need to shore up support there in the way he appears to be doing it?
You know, part of what's going on here in his bus tour in the state is a dance of his strategy in Iowa. I mean, there's a shot that Mitt Romney is going to win the Iowa caucuses, but it's very a cautious tale for him. He went all in that state 4 years ago and was badly, badly burned. And so now he's, you know, has a quiet network of a very strong team out there. He's probably in second place or third place. And if he were to appear in Iowa and do a bus tour there and go all in, then people would say, well, hey, you need to win Iowa as well. And so part of what's going on here is he's in New Hampshire, largely because he does not want to be in Iowa.
I see, yeah. And a big advantage, of course, for Mitt Romney over Gingrich when it comes to New Hampshire is years, really, of organization. How has Gingrich's ground team been developing in New Hampshire?
It's not been impressive. I mean, they had very little time, to be totally fair to him, to make this buzz translate into stuff underneath it, bricks and mortar, infrastructure in terms of support, county chairs. If you talk to some of the top advisors for the Gingrich campaign here, his campaign manager here has never run a campaign, and he almost mocks the traditional process of politics of county chairs or having internal polling or having landlines that work in the office so they can make phone calls. They just sort of reject the premise, and that's where you start to see where the rubber is going to meet the road in the next 19 days before the New Hampshire primary. Those candidates who actually put the time in, invested, running a real campaign, and those who are running a campaign of publicity and of buzz. I mean, if we're being perfectly blunt, Now, maybe I'll get in trouble for this, but I don't care. If we're being perfectly blunt, this year we only have one candidate in this race. There's only one candidate, Mitt Romney. Four years ago, we had three candidates, Mitt Romney, John McCain, and Rudy Giuliani. But this time, it's Mitt Romney, and he's the front runner by default. And in just a couple of days, we'll be talking about a two-person race that's not about Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney, as you began your segment today, which I completely understand is the dynamic. We'll be talking about a two-person dynamic between Ron Paul and Mitt Romney.
Interesting. Ron Paul's rise in the polls signifying, among other things, probably a dissatisfaction with Newt Gingrich, wouldn't you say?
And to your earlier question, a total organization. I mean, Ron Paul has an organization in Iowa where it matters the most. There are 1,773 precinct caucuses where folks in Iowa have to show up on January 3rd at 7 o'clock at a certain place at a certain time to vote for their candidate. And that's one thing that Ron Paul has invested in the time, has invested the energy. You show up to a Ron Paul event in Iowa, they look you in a database before you can even walk into that event to make sure that you're a registered caucus goer. And if you're not, they'll register you right there. New Hampshire is a different system.
James Spindle, thank you so much. We're out of time. James Spindle, political director at WMUR-TV in Manchester.
Joining us now is Boston University Mass Communications professor and Radio Boston media analyst John Carroll. Hi there, John.
Hi, Magda.
So, John, the candidates have left the debating stage, at least, but the debate absolutely continues on the airwaves to the point where there seems to be a veritable slugfest going on, and not just between the candidates, but between the so-called PACs, the political action committees, or even the super PACs. So let's listen to one particular spot. This is from a pro-Mitt Romney super PAC called Restore Our Future.
Know what makes Barack Obama happy? Newt Gingrich's baggage. Newt has more baggage than the airlines. Freddie Mac helped cause the economic collapse, but Gingrich cashed in. Freddie Mac paid Newt $30,000 an hour, $1.6 million.
Okay, John, what do you make of it?
This has more willful distortions than virtually any ad I've seen this year. Mitt Romney and Restore Our Future are like thing one and thing two when it comes to avoiding the truth. This ad has so many outrageous distortions that the Washington Post fact checker gave it four Pinocchios. So it's really bad. But the Romney campaign clearly doesn't care about distorting things. They said as much when they had the anti-Obama ad that took his quote out of context. And apparently the acorn doesn't fall far from the tree because the PAC is operating the same way.
Well, now, the thing about PACs and super PACs is that they are technically not officially associated with the campaign. But on the other hand, Newt Gingrich is saying, hey, Mitt Romney, you could tell the Restore Our Future super PAC to stop running this ad ASAP if you wanted to.
He could, but it wouldn't matter. They're not supposed to coordinate. I think the real power here lies not in the candidates, but in the TV stations. TV stations do not have to accept these ads. They do have to accept the ads from the candidates. They do not have to accept the ads from the PACs and the super PACs. And they could go back and they could say to Restore Our Future, this ad just distorts things too much. Go back and dial it back so that it only distorts things mildly the way political ads normally do as opposed to outrageously.
Okay, but John, you're the mass communications professor here. I mean, how likely is it that a commercial television station in this day and age is going to do that, especially when the local stations make so much money in the presidential primary season based on these exact ads?
Well, there's no chance. I'm going to start a PAC, though. You know, be the future of our future. And it's going to be a PAC that is going to urge TV stations to police these ads. They're not going to do it. They're going to devote their efforts to just stacking up their money and taking it to the bank.
Well, Newt Gingrich, for his part, has consistently said that he will not go negative on the air. And a newly formed pro-Gingrich super PAC called Winning Our Future, lots of pro-future names here amongst
absolutely.
The PACs.
Everybody's looking forward.
They came out with this spot.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values.
Not one sign of all that baggage he's supposed to have.
No, he's traveling light in this one. I mean, this is another one where the candidate and the PAC are pretty much in sync. Gingrich has stayed positive all along. It's almost like a rope-a-dope. He's just getting pummeled, especially in Iowa, but now in New Hampshire because that one's getting closer too. Just getting pummeled by Ron Paul, by Romney's super PAC, and he's staying positive. He's staking a lot on the fact that voters are going to reward him for staying positive, and they're going to penalize Romney and the other candidates for going negative. And I'm not sure that's a good bet, but it'll be interesting to see how it works out.
Well, it seems like almost every candidate has a PAC or super PAC associated with him or herself, including John Huntsman, the Our Destiny super PAC. Again, all these future-based names.
Very messianic.
So the Our Destiny super PAC has poured a ton of money into New Hampshire in the form of TV ads. So let's listen to one of them.
John Huntsman's record is more conservative than Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney combined, has better foreign policy experience, is more pro-life, and Huntsman would be a more conservative president. John Huntsman, the consistent conservative who can win.
I'm just wondering where he stands on the political spectrum. You know, do you think he's a conservative? They only say it five times in this spot.
He's a consistent one, apparently.
He's consistently saying he's a conservative anyway. I think that it's pretty clear what Huntsman is trying to do. He's been painted as the moderate. He's been painted as sort of the Democrats' favorite Republican. And he's looking to move to the right in terms of how the New Hampshire voters view him. So I think that this is sort of swimming upstream for him a little bit, because all the other indications are that he's much more moderate than the other candidates. But obviously, if he pours enough money in, he might change some minds.
Well, we have time for one more ad, and this is one from an actual campaign, that of Texas Congressman Ron Paul. It's not his super PAC. Again, it's an actual campaign ad. But in terms of the content of the ad, it fits right in.
It's the story of a lost city, lost opportunity, lost hope. A story of smooth-talking politicians, insider deals, games of he said, she said. One man has stood apart, stood strong and true.
This one sounds almost cinematic.
Yeah, it's constructed like a trailer, like a movie trailer. It says, you know, this preview is rated Ron Paul or something. I'm not sure, but that's what he wants to do. And he's got the, you know, the 20,000 leagues under the sea voice over, that kind of thing. The interesting thing about this ad is the visuals, who he's hooking up the different candidates with. So he shows a picture of Mitt Romney alongside Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. He shows a picture of Michelle Bachmann alongside Nancy Pelosi. He shows a picture of Rick Perry alongside Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader. So the associations he's trying to make are to marginalize the other candidates. So it's not only promoting himself, but he's also trying to depict them. And they're all grainy black and white. I mean, they look like a pepperoni pizza, half of them. And that's the way they do it in these kinds of ads. So trying to make them look as bad as possible, both visually and by association, to elevate himself.
John, one last question for you. So in Iowa right now, there seems to be a pretty tight race, actually. Mitt Romney in New Hampshire, however, continues to hold a fairly commanding lead in the latest polls, which is one of the reasons why there's been a lot of talk about New Hampshire maybe not mattering as much as a primary this time around. But on the other hand, you never know what voters are going to do until the day they actually hit the polls. So do you think that the fact we're finally seeing this onslaught of advertising shows that the game is still on in places like New Hampshire?
Absolutely. Ron Paul has spent over $700,000 in New Hampshire. He spent a lot more in Iowa. Everybody's talking about how Iowa won't count if Ron Paul wins. Anything could happen at this point. John Huntsman in New Hampshire is up in double figures. He's polling around 13%. So it's really hard to tell what's going to happen. There's a lot of undecided voters out there. There's a lot more money to be spent. So I think that there are a lot of variables right now, and there's just no way of telling.
John Carroll is Radio Boston's media analyst. He's also a professor of mass communications at Boston University, and he blogs at CampaignOutsider.com. John, thanks as always.
Thanks, Magda.
Up next, Glenn Stout and his new book on Fenway Park, which is about to turn 100. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.